In the book of John, chapter 17. Yes. John chapter 17. Look at verse number 5. Jesus is praying, speaking to the Father. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Father, thank you for this great passage of Scripture. Thank you for making us understand and know the words of Christ as he prays for us, as he prays to you, and we recognize the unity that you have one to another. Also, Christ desires that we as believers have unity one to another in the body of Christ, and that we show your glory and your greatness, your power to the world through us. Forgive our weaknesses, forgive our shortcomings, forgive our backwardness sometimes and failure to lift up the name of Jesus in public when we have that opportunity. I pray you give preaching liberty tonight, that through the power and person of your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, we might know exactly what you have for us as Jesus prayed for us. Here in these verses. Forgive now in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. I would love to go back and do a verse by verse on this, but I don't want to take the time tonight. I want to try to be brief. But what a great chapter this is. Chapter 17, where we have revealed to us the heartbeat of Christ and what the Father is thinking as well, that we are not of the world, even as Jesus was not of the world. That structure that is godless, I tell you again, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, I believe it is, talks about not loving the world or the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Does it mean I can't enjoy the beauty of the snow-capped mountains? Or I can't enjoy the sound of those mountain streams as they ripple over the rocks headed downhill? Or I can't enjoy the sight of a big elk or bears in the wilderness? Or I can't enjoy the oceans or the tides? Does that mean that? No, it doesn't. What he's referring to is cosmos, which means mankind, the world, the system of the world that man touches and man puts together and man organizes. It is that system that is tainted with evil. It is that system that is absent from God. It's that system of hook and crook before it gets done to you. It's that system of greed and lust and jealousy and envy. And it's a godless situation. God cramps the world's style. And Jesus says, I pray not that thou wouldest take them out of the world, but that thou wouldest keep them from the evil. I like that. Jesus has prayed for me and for you as well, that God the Father give us the strength, the direction, the purpose, and the power that evil will not have influence over us. It's not that evil, when he talks about evil, it's not the fact that evil overpowers and changes our character. But that's in verse 15. He says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. It means a hurtful effect or influence, not a degeneracy of character. We're born again Christians. Our character should be different than that of the world. And it should be stronger and more intact than that of the world, which changes, day and night. So he says that thou shouldest keep them from the influence or the hurtful effects of evil. Here we are, a minority among many, who have been constantly changing our culture and our outlook towards one another. Our outlook as to the world. Now we are supposed to tolerate everything that the world puts in front of us, or we're not good Christians. Well, the very fact that Jesus prayed and he said, I pray that you not take them out of the world, but leave them in the world. Why? Because he needs the influence of salt and light. But that influence must be out amongst the world. But I pray that you keep them from the influence, the evil, the degeneracy of the world. Keep them from thinking like the world and loving the world. Keep them from the effects of the evil that's in the world. Protect them, is what he's saying. Thank you, Lord. While I'm there, I have a footnote that I wrote in the margin in the 97th Psalm, Psalm 97, that goes along with that particular verse in John. And it is down in verse number 10. It says, ye that love the Lord hate evil, the influence of evil, the evil one, the bad, nationally, morally, the adversity, the affliction, the good for nothingness, if you please, socially or morally. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. Now, he didn't say hate people. He just said hate the influence, the morality, and the character of, and the bad influence. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. I've said it before, love what God loves and hate what God hates. And God hates the society in which we live right now. I'm sure of it. God hates the culture where we are right now. and where we've degenerated to. We're not going upward and further. We're going backwards and down as a nation. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. Oh, but ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. Look at that. Look at that verse. It goes with verse 10. Ye that love the Lord, hate the evil influence that's in our society. Hate the culture. Hate the degeneracy of human beings around us that are in control of our school kids and control of our college students and control of our federal government. You know, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Why and how? Because he preserveth the souls of his saints. We just read that in John 15. He prayed the Father that the Father would keep us from the influence of evil. He could just take us right out of the world as soon as we got saved. He said, I pray not that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them in the world, but that you keep them from all of this wickedness that's about them. Hey, we're an island. We're surrounded by seas of evil. We're surrounded by seas of degenerates. We're surrounded by seas of perverts. And yet we are commanded to tolerate them and to love them. No, I don't love their ways. I don't love their sins. I never will tolerate. To tolerate that which is evil is a contradiction of righteousness. To tolerate that which is evil is a contradiction of righteousness. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. I think I'd rather obey what the Lord says than what Supreme Court says. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Light, this is light, light and darkness. Light is sown for the righteous. It means spiritually. So we have the lighted path. We know right from wrong. We know the direction to take. We know where dangers lie. Light is sown for the righteous. And gladness, oh joy, gladness for the upright in heart. In other words, the saints of God that do not succumb to the wicked or the evil of society about us, there is a gladness in their heart and in their soul, even in the midst. We could point out Daniel and the Hebrew children. We could point out a lot of the captives that went into Babylonian captivity who were used by God to change empires and kings. We could talk about Esther, and we could talk about her greatness and others who were thrown as a vast minority amongst a different culture and a different society and a different way of belief and a different outlook about life, and yet they prevailed because of the hand of God upon their soul. What a wonderful thing. In John chapter 17, he says again in verse 13, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they, his saints, his people, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Do we not have a marching order in Matthew 28? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's not just for preachers or missionaries. That's for all of us. That was given to the church. You're part of that church. It was given to all of us. It wasn't given to just the under shepherd alone. And he says, they are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. How are we cleansed after we've been washed in the blood? I know our daily lives, our inner lives, our thoughts. How do we cleanse that? How do we stay righteous by feeding upon the word of God? That's it. Sanctify them. Set them aside for your purpose and for your will. How? Through your truth. What is truth? Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through, there it is, truth. I want you to underline that word truth, how many times it's used here in this chapter. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Those that are one to Christ through the efforts of so many, he prays for as well. The standard by which everything is measured. Not how you feel. Not which side of the bed you got up on this morning. The standard by which everything is measured has to be constant. And it has to be the same day in, day out. There can be no alteration of it. There can be no change of it. There can be no subtractions from it. It must be in its entirety and continuous. And that thing that we measure everything by is the Word of God. It is literally truth. 2 times 2 is always 4. 2 plus 2 is always 4. Truth. I have a left hand and a right hand. That's truth. It'll always be that way. God created men and women. That's truth. And man has, and Satan has tried to delineate and tear apart by the wickedness, by the evil that Jesus just spoke about. Now we have how many genders? I've lost count. 2. Male and female. According to truth. What is truth? Thy word is truth. God's word is truth. And no matter how they try to brainwash us, no matter how they try to change it, no matter what laws they make or enact, we must always be guided by truth and not by law. Are you following me? There may come a time and a day and an hour, and I look for it, that it will be against the law without a permit from the state to assemble together in this manner. Most everywhere in the world is already enacted. There are few free places around the world left. But in many of the countries I've traveled, existing church bodies had to have a permit from the state, or they were meeting together illegally and they could face the penalties of the law of the state. What will you do when they outlaw our assembling together? Will you still assemble? What will they do when they take away your tax exemption, your donation to churches, your exemption? When they take that away, will you still give to God? Do you give to God because you love Him, or do you give to God for the tax exemption that you get from it? When they say that you no longer can have the Second Amendment right to protect yourself and it's against the law now and we will come by and confiscate, what will you do? Will you give in? Listen, God gave me the right to protect myself. The state does not. And I will continue to do so. The standard by which everything is measured is the truth. Just because the Supreme Court stands up and says it's truth now that a man can marry a man and a woman can marry a woman and a man can marry a donkey or a woman can marry a horse and it's all legit. And it's not so. because it's not truth. When we look at the political system of today and everyone running for office, people have called me and said, who do we vote for? We vote for the ones who best follow the example of truth as set down before us in the book. Plain and simply, I wouldn't vote Democratic, no way, no how. Why? Their platform. What is their platform? Abortion on demand. Gay marriage and lifestyle. And they're open about it. You know, free health care, free college tuition, free everything. When the Bible says if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. Truth. So the standard by which everything is measured has to be constant and not evolving, not changing, not going backwards, not being watered down in order to fit the lifestyles of people, but a measuring rod which we pull the lifestyles of people up to. And yet churches and preachers and politicians all speak out of both sides of their mouths in order to not offend and in order to appease people for budget purposes or other reasons. But it doesn't make it truth. Jesus, number one, is truth. In John chapter 14, we know the verses of Scripture memorized. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. The truth. If you want to know truth, get up close to Jesus, find out what he said about it or what he's done about it. He'll allow you to know. Truth. Truth in every arena. Truth in every portion. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 21, I want you to see this. In verse 20 it says, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Now I want you to notice, if you have a good Bible, the word in is darker than the other words, or else the word in is italicized to show you that it was added for clarification. But it doesn't clarify, it delineates from the real meaning here. It doesn't mean that truth is in Jesus. It means that Jesus is truth. The truth is Jesus. You see it? You have been taught by him as the truth is Jesus. Man, he had no beginning. He has no ending. He had a beginning for a flesh and blood body, but his beginning is from eternity past. And he's always been truth. As men reject Jesus, so they reject the truth. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, I want you to notice that verse that we always go to, but it's one of the outlying scriptures and prophetic scriptures of the end time. Here we are living it, that men turn away their ears from hearing the truth. They don't want to hear truth. Why did they tear our billboard sign down out front when we put Leviticus scripture out there that man shall not lie with mankind as he lieth with womankind? It's an abomination. And they screamed and cried and sent evil emails and phone messages and threats and finally tore it down. Why? Because they turn away their ears from the truth. The truth. We measure everything by truth. Well, the poor homosexuals are just being so misaligned and abused, and you just need to understand them. No, they need to understand truth. God did not make them that way, and they were not born that way. They were brainwashed that way. Jesus is truth, and yet man has rejected Jesus, so he's rejected the truth of the situation. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. They'll begin to believe the lies. When you turn away from truth, then you begin to believe the lies. I I heard one of the, I didn't listen to all of it, it's like a circus. But the Democrats had their debates the other night, and Elizabeth Warren was after Bloomberg. Is Bloomberg? Yeah, the rich dude. And she pointed out some of the dirt that she got on him about him demanding that one of his female employees who found out she was pregnant just go out and kill it. Go out and have an abortion. Go kill it. And Elizabeth Warren used those words. I was kind of shocked because the Democrats believe that abortion on demand is okay. You know, it's not, there's not anything to it. That's one of their agendas. And yet you and I believe that that is a life in the womb of a woman. And she said that Bloomberg told the employee, just go out and kill it. Oh, wait a minute. She had a brain freeze. Democrats don't believe that it's alive in the first place, or they don't act like it is. But she said, he said, just go kill it. So we see when we turn away from the truth, we are turned to falsehoods and fables, to believe a lie, and to believe that lie of abortion on demand is nuts. To believe that homosexual men and lesbian women have the rights to marry each other because the court says they do is insane, because we've delineated and we've gone away from truth. One man for one woman is what God planned. The standard by which everything is measured is truth in all of its entirety. Culture cannot set the standard for men or for nations, for it's always changing. Culture is always evolving, and culture is always changing. Point in hand. My wife and I passed somewhere, big billboard sign said, March so-and-so and such-and-such tattoo conference or tattoo explosion or something. I think they're having it downtown at the convention center. And I said, baby, we need to go down and get tatted. And if you get one that says his, I'll get one that says hers. And she didn't like that idea. So we're not going to do it. I wouldn't do it anyway. But here's what I'm saying to you. When I was a child growing up, my mom and daddy used to tell me, the Bible says that, you know, the Word of God says you're not supposed to make marks on your body and not to get tattooed because of that. I believe that. I later read it myself, and I believe that. But people have gone, culture has gone crazy right now. I see kids that look like they're 12 years old in grocery stores with tattoos on them that mom and dad had to okay for them to get. And that's insane. When I was growing up, people that had those that were obvious and showed everywhere that you see them today were considered as low-class individuals or as winos or, you know, as loose women or those kinds of things. Now culture has changed all of that, and now you're not anything at all unless you got a tat somewhere. It's crazy. Culture changes. Culture evolves. Culture is ever on the move, as it was in Lot's time. And Lot moved into Sodom, and boy, things changed, didn't they? But he didn't change Sodom. Sodom changed him. He lost his entire family by moving in where it was wealthy and easy to live. He lost his whole family because he did not pay attention to what truth was trying to say to him, and he sat down in the midst of it all. Truth must be set, and truth must be the standard for all things done. Look in the 100th Psalm, if you would. Psalm 100. For the Lord is good, verse 5. His mercy is everlasting, and truth endureth to all generations. The standard by which our culture should be moving is the standard of truth, which is God's Word. Why? They've even taught our school kids to question, well, what is truth? Well, who can know truth? Because it's constantly changing. So how do I know what truth is? Listen, the Word of God never changes, and there it is. And He said, from generation to generation, the truth stands. That's the only constant thing that we know. Everything else changes. Truth must be set and be the standard for all things done, else we're in trouble. I read in the fact that Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. I believe it. Psalm 12 and verse 6 tells me this. Psalm 12 verse 6, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. In other words, they would cook the silver and the impurities in the silver would catch fire as the fire was hotter and hotter, and the impurities would burn up and nothing but the pure silver would be left behind. This is the idea that he says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. In other words, it don't get no better than that. God's word is pure, more pure than the purest of silver, as an example. Verse 7, thou shalt keep them. O Lord, thou shalt preserve them, the words, from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Boy, oh boy. You can see that when anything that is non-truth gets in political office and political power, you see rapidly how far down we degenerate immediately. When Bill Clinton was in office, the office of the presidency was made a joke, and others. In Jeremiah chapter 9, I've given you this before, but I give it to you again in the context of this. In Jeremiah chapter 9, I want you to look at verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Now listen. Verse 25, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcised. And if you brought it to a spiritual application, you could say, I will punish all them that are saved and the unsaved. Because you have saved individuals who are not living the truth. You have saved individuals who have compromised truth for other things. And they say, well, I've always done it this way, so I'm going to continue. And yet culture has changed it where it's no longer viable to do it this way because truth says now it's wrong. So we have to be adaptable as far as culture's concerned to realize that things are not the way they were. The Democratic Party today is not the same party that my grandmother voted for so adamantly 50 or 60 years ago. Not the same. Today it's a socialist standing party that with abortion on demand and homosexual marriage out the ears. It's ridiculous. The direction our country is headed for a few bucks. But notice, drop down to chapter 10, verse 2. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen. What did I tell you a moment ago? Culture is constantly changing. Well, what's okay today was taboo 60 years ago. And today it's nothing at all. It doesn't make it right. You can't judge it by the society in which you are or judge it by the friends you run with. You have to judge it by something that is constant and that does not change, and that would be the Word of God, the truth. So he says, Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen. Be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. Listen, for the customs of the people are vain. I like that. The customs of the people are vain. It means their statutes or ordinances are vanity. They made a law in America on June 26th, a couple of years ago, that it was legal now for man to marry men and for women to marry women. I remember the date because it's one of my grandchildren's birthday. And the Supreme Court says, yes, and now you must, if you're an official, you must perform the ceremony, or if you work in the in the county office, you must issue the marriage license. And we had some that said, no, I refuse to do that. Well, you're fired then. Fine, I'll take it on the chin. I'm not issuing a license to two men to get married. That's not right. I won't issue a license. We had people lose their jobs for it, but at least they stood up for God and said, this is not right in America. What I'm trying to show you tonight is that we do have a standard that is truth, and it never changes. But here, even here, he says, for the customs of the people are in vain. And the word customs means their ordinances, their statutes, in other words, their laws. People can make all the laws they want. Majority can rule. The Supreme Court can rule. But the real Supreme Court will have the last say one day. And just because culture and majority and societies and cultures say it's okay doesn't mean it's okay. We're about to tip the balances in America as to how many are opposed to and how many for open abortion and gay marriage. There's coming a day when you and I, there's still enough old folks that have character and integrity. They don't give a rip about culture. They just want to do right and by the word of God. There's still enough of this, of us old folks in the country that can vote in the right platform. But if we keep bringing in immigration from all over the world without documentation, but allow them to stand up and vote in our system, we're doing ourselves an injustice, and evil will prevail in that situation, I can guarantee you. So what I'm telling you tonight, there's coming a time in our lifetimes we're going to have to stand up and toe the line. Are you for it or are you against it? We're going to have to stand up and toe the line. Are you on God's side or are you on the world's side? Jesus said, I pray not that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the influence of the world, the evils of the world, that they might be in the world and glorify me. How do that word glory and that word glorify? When we glorify Jesus Christ, it means that people can see Christ in us. They see a difference in our life. I'm not for lifestyle evangelism. I'm from 101 evangelism. We ought to tell people they're lost, and the only way they get saved is through Jesus Christ. They don't look at my life and get saved. But I am for living an example in front of people, you know, not drinking alcohol beverages, not gambling, not playing the lottery, not wearing the vulgar tattoos that a lot of them are wearing and the bumper stickers, and living like the godless rest of the heathen and the world. Even if our government and even if our Supreme Court changes the rule of law and says now it's legal, it doesn't make it legal in the sight of God. That's what he's saying here. Learn not the way of the heathen. Be not dismayed at the signs of heaven. Verse 3. For the customs, the statutes, the ordinances, the laws of the people are vain. I got you. I understand, Lord. The standard by which everything is measured has to be truth. There is only one constant truth, that's the Word of God. And Jesus made the church, I don't mean a generic. When I say the church, I mean the local visible. And it's not every denomination in the world that says, well, we're a church, or we don't want to offend anybody, so we drop Baptist off our name, or we don't want to offend anybody, we drop Church of God off our name, we don't want to offend anybody, we drop Presbyterian. We're just a non-denominational. No, you have beliefs. And if you didn't have the right beginning, you can't end right. And the only one that I know that's headed in the right direction is the Baptist faith. And then some of them are not right, I got to tell you. Some of them are compromising with the world and compromising with truth. But Jesus made his local visible church the keeper of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse 15. Paul writes to Timothy, a young preacher and pastor now. And Paul says, if I tarry long, I want you to know that thou mayest know how that you ought to behave yourself, to behave thyself in the house of God. How to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The pillar and ground. There's a lot there in verse 15, but I only major on two things. Pillar and ground. The pillar is a column, a prop, or a support. A pillar would hold the building up and the roof over. And he says, the pillar and the ground is a support or a stay, a prop, if you please, something that would continue in place or condition to specified or specifics, to continue in the place or condition into specifics to be able to hold out. The pillar and ground of the truth. If that means that Christ has given his church the order to protect, to keep it pure, to watch over, that means more than just the preacher has truth. That means that the church, which is not sheetrock and paint and carpet, but the church is people who are part of that body, that not only do I have the obligation and the responsibility, but you have responsibility and obligation to keep truth, to promote truth, not to compromise truth. The pillar and ground of the truth, not a truth, some truth, the truth. Wow. So the standard by which everything is measured is the Word of God, the truth. However, just like Israel was God's chosen, they went out and began to commit evil when evil kings began to rule. People got caught up in all of this. I want to tell you tonight that, politically speaking, elections come up this week, you know, in the primaries. Somebody says, well, we want to keep our economy strong. It ain't about economy, stupid. It's about right and wrong. It's about truth. It ain't about free lunches or free housing or free college or free Medicare or any of the above. It all sounds good, but there's nothing free. It has to be paid for somehow. But the ignorant and the unlearned swallow it. Why? Because they turned away their ear from hearing the truth, and they have been turned unto falsehoods and fables. That's where we are in America. Israel was God's chosen people. I think America has been right behind Israel and the greatest nation in all of the world. God's had his hand on America like no other nation other than Israel. But just like Israel finally wore God's patience down, America's doing the very same thing right now. You and I are living on grace from the past generations. You and I are living on grace and the mercy of Almighty God. There's coming a day when he's going to say, that's enough. Just like we read in Jeremiah, he said, don't learn the ways of the heathen. I'm coming against you. And all of your ordinances and all of your laws and all of your statutes are vain because I am truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Churches must have a committed body and a committed man in the pulpit who is committed to nothing but the truth, no matter what. Look in Proverbs 22. I'm finished. Proverbs 22 in verse 17. He says, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them. What? The words. Verse 7. Hear the words of the wise. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips. That thy trust may be in the Lord. Oh, what are we saying when Bernie Sanders is leading in the polls? What does that say about America? Do I have to tell you? It says we're a godless nation. Oh, what's Bernie Sanders got to do with being godless? He's a socialist. He was bragging on Cuba not long ago. Did you see the pictures of the hospitals for the average person down in Cuba? How filthy and degenerated they were. But that's not, and he was bragging on Cuban health care and Cuban, and the Cubans even did one of those social media things and thanked him for bragging on them. He's a socialist, and he appeals to masses of people in America because he promises free health care, free college tuition, free housing, and on and on. That's socialism. That's taking from the rich and dispersing it again. But it's not equal because the top socialists are going to be well paid, you can just imagine. In every world situation, it's happened that way. So what I'm saying is, when he becomes so popular because of his socialist agenda, it tells me that people are relying upon the state to feed them, relying upon the state to house them, relying upon the state for free stuff and health care, free, relying on the state and the politician rather than upon God. Jesus said, I pray that thou wouldest not take them out of the world, which is a godless area, but that thou wouldest keep them in the world, but keep them from the evil. Keep them from the influence and the tainting of evil in their lives, because there will be so much of it. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them, the words, within thee. They shall be withal be fitted in thy lips, that thy trust may be in the Lord. Verse 19. I'm reading in Proverbs 22:19. That thy trust may be in the Lord. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that sinned unto thee. Doesn't get any plainer than that. The standard by which everything is measured has to be truth. And there's only one truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. So, how do we measure up who we ought to have as principal over our school? How do we know who makes the best superintendent of schools in Midland or Odessa or wherever? How do we know the politicians to vote for? How do we know which man for sheriff? How do we know what this, and this, the one that lines up most, and they're not all going to be perfect, but the one that lines up most with truth is the one I vote for. They can't be abortionists. They can't be same-sex marriage. That's against truth. I don't want them looking like the modern-day culture. I want them to be separate from that because that is truth. So that's how I pick and choose. You say, boy, that's judgmental. I don't care what you call it. It's following truth the best I can. The rest is up to you. Let's stand and be dismissed tonight.